This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The sentencing hearing of former Massachusetts House Speaker Sal DeMasi begins tomorrow. It follows DeMasi's conviction earlier this summer of having helped a software firm score a state contract in exchange for kickbacks.
Tomorrow, federal judge Mark Wolf will consider whether the 66-year-old DeMasi should go away for more than 12 years, as the prosecution has requested, or maybe something closer to 3 years, a sentence the defense calls acceptable.
In spite of everything, DeMasi remains a man with many friends. Letters pleading for mercy have flooded in, and yesterday Judge Wolf released those letters to the public. WBUR's David Boeri has been sifting through them, and he joins us. Hi, David.
Hi, Anthony.
So give us a sense of where these letters of support are coming from.
Well, typically they come from family, friends, neighbors. In DeMasi's case, they also come from state reps, lobbyists, the former Senate president, Robert Travellini, the vicar of the Old North Church, and the person who cuts his hair at the Gentleman's Salon.
So if there's an argument that runs through all of these letters, David, what is it?
First, it's the public person. He is described as a man who cared deeply about the disadvantaged, standing up for what was right and for those who were down. That came from the former mayor of Springfield, Michael Albana, who was also a former member of the state parole board. So here are the acts of a public official, Judith Meredith, who is well known on Beacon Hill as a lobbyist for human services over the years, wrote that DeMasi deserves the compassion he always showed the disadvantaged. Consistent theme of those letters, Anthony, is DeMasi's long service as a legislator for progressive causes for people the down and the out. Arlene Isaacson, another lobbyist, stressed the role that DeMasi played in the struggle for gay rights, that he broke ranks with Speaker Finneran to lead the fight for marriage equality. All this while coming from a traditional and socially conservative neighborhood, the North End. He didn't have to do it. He gained nothing from it, Isaacson writes. He did it because it was the right thing to do. And by wide agreement of all these letter writers, Anthony, and Beacon Hill observers as well, to be truthful, DeMasi was the key to the passage of the health care reform bill. He knew that inside and out, worked it, pushed it hard, also responsible for marriage equality in the state and for stem cell initiatives, among other things. And of course, his opposition to casinos and to gaming kept it from becoming a reality while he was still House Speaker.
So a lot of reference there, David, to his long career up on Beacon Hill. There were also references to his private side, including a letter from his wife, correct?
That's right. And the letter from his wife and from his stepdaughter are the most affecting and emotional letters of all. And they underline this personal tragedy that parallels the public tragedy. Debbie DeMasi was diagnosed with cancer. She underwent a double mastectomy during the run-up to the trial itself. Now she expects to have her ovaries removed this fall, she writes in a letter. Meanwhile, the state treasurer is moving to revoke DeMasi's pension and health benefits. The mortgage on their home is being foreclosed. The family has no savings. They weren't able to pay for his defense themselves. Debbie DeMasi has no job. And after writing of traumas and loss in her own life, she writes, "My heart, my home, my life, and the lives of my children would be shattered once again. Only this time I don't think I could put the pieces back together again."
Heavy stuff. David, I'm curious, do letters like this to a federal judge, like Judge Mark Wolf, does support expressed like this make any difference in a judge's deliberations?
You cannot say these letters aren't moving. They're deeply, deeply moving. But lawyers will tell you that letters generally don't have a lot of effect. They can't hurt you, as one lawyer told me, but they probably won't help you. And Judge Wolf last week pointed to DeMasi's culpability. He wrote, "The government proved to the jury and to the court that DeMasi and McDonough participated in a classic scheme to sell DeMasi's official powers. That scheme has failed, and that has to be answered for, and that means prison time, and it probably will be much more significant than 3 years." If there's any effect that the defense can have here, it's probably not so much the letters, but the comparison of what the federal government wants to sentence DeMasi versus the average that other people who have been convicted, other public officials who have been convicted over the years, have been sentenced to. So I got a list here from Tom Kiley, who's the defense attorney for Sal DeMasi, a list of some public officials convicted of corruption. Don Siegelman, the governor of Alabama, his sentence was 7 years. George Ryan, governor of Illinois, he got a 6.5-year sentence. The mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut, sentenced to 7 years. Of all these different corrupt public officials, the one that served and got the greatest sentence was Corey Kemp. He was the city treasurer in Philadelphia. He was sentenced to 10 years. Buddy Cianci, by the way, got 60 months, 5 years. So,
Buddy Cianci, the former mayor of Providence. Right, yeah. So, David, tell us what happens next. Sentence begins tomorrow. Does that mean we see Sal DeMacy let out of the courtroom in handcuffs to begin a jail term tomorrow?
No, that's unlikely. It didn't happen with Diane Wilkerson, a state senator who was sentenced for corruption. It didn't happen with Chuck Turner, the Boston city councilor, who was convicted last year. They both were allowed to get their affairs in order before turning themselves in. It's likely to happen with Sal DeMacy as well. Now, the second part of the sentencing, and it's going to take 2 days. This is going to be a long, long proceeding. Mm-hmm. The second part of this will be how long he'll be allowed to stay out, if at all, while he's appealing his conviction. So they're going to be looking for a stay of sentence. They would like to keep him out until the appeal goes forward. That could be years. That appeal will definitely go forward, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it goes to the Supreme Court. The judge is not going to allow him to stay out until that appeal is heard. I'm guessing that you might see 60 days or more before he actually has to turn himself in.
Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That's WBUR's David Boeri talking about former House Speaker Sal DeMacy, who's scheduled to be sentenced in federal court beginning tomorrow.
Well, up next, from Pearl Harbor to Hiroshima, from 9/11 to Iraq, an MIT historian on the cracked hall of mirrors of humanity's cultures of war. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.